You're listening to the Option Alpha podcast from OptionAlpha.com, where we show you how to make smarter trades, learn how the stock market really works, and generate consistent monthly income. Now, your host and head trader at OptionAlpha.com, Kirk Duplessis.
Hey everyone, this is Kirk here again from Option Alpha, working every single week to make this the most popular investing podcast offered online and in iTunes, because it's based on one thing and one thing only, and that's helping you guys make smarter trades. So thanks so much for tuning in today. On today's show, we are going to be talking about how you shouldn't focus on ROI until you cross this one trading bridge first. And it's actually an issue that I see a lot of people having, where they focus all on ROI, they focus on returns, how much can I make? But you have to do one thing first. You have to cross this proverbial bridge first before you can start focusing on that. And I like to often relate this to trying to do like backflips snowboarding without first getting down the mountain a couple times, right? So like, I love to snowboard. I like to go out and ski and snowboard. And I would never try to do a backflip my first time down, but that's what some people do in trading. They go out and they start trading. They're very excited about it. They've got all the gear, they've got everything set up, and they try to do backflips, but you just got to get down the mountain a couple times and have a little bit of mental toughness, or have that, some of that mindset that you need before you can start trying to, you know, reach for some harder tricks or doing some, you know, harder trades and getting some higher ROI. So I really want to kind of talk through this. I'm going to use a case study today from one of our back tests that we just ran this morning on IWM. I think it's going to be a really good, interesting case study and kind of walk through the returns that this particular strangle had in IWM and how we can kind of use it to learn and hopefully make you a better trader. So like I said, this proverbial bridge you have to cross is you have to have some mental toughness and the right mindset. And it's all about knowing what to expect, which is why it's so important to backtest trades, or I think it's important to backtest trades before arbitrarily choosing the highest ROI strategy. So you don't always have to choose the strategy that makes the most money, because it may not be the strategy that you want or that you can handle, your mental toughness can withstand. So oftentimes when we run a backtest or do a trade optimization, we'll see that, you know, like one strategy in particular might have slightly higher returns, but another strategy right below it or another variation of that strategy might have slightly lower returns, but better drawdowns and better win rates, and you don't have to enter the trade as often. So there are things that you have to consider beyond just how much money can I make, which is the basic answer that a lot of people, or basic question that a lot of people have, is just how much money can I make, Kirk? How much can I do? There's a lot more that goes into it, right? Like, how stable is your portfolio? How often are you going to trade? What types of positions can you trade in your portfolio? Do you have a margin account versus an IRA, right? So all these things have to be factored in. But having mental toughness, you have to understand what the sequence of returns and what your portfolio could look like moving forward in the future. So if you're shooting for a high ROI, that's awesome. But what is it going to take to get there? Like I've often said on a webinar, and when I do the webinar with live free members and onboarding pro members, I often tell people, I say, look, it's not out of the realm of possibility to make really high returns trading options. But on a consistent basis, it's very hard to do a 30 or 40 or 50%. Like, it's almost impossible to do that. Like, nobody can do that, because it just takes way too much volatility in the account. The account goes through these huge peaks and these huge troughs, and you really never actually get to the point of having a smooth, consistent, steady growth. So while people try to shoot for these high ROIs all the time, they sign up and they try to shoot for a 30% return right off the bat, they end up burning out because they just don't have the mental toughness or the mindset to keep trading through peaks and troughs, or whatever that strategy ends up being. So that's the real key. You've got to get over that mental hurdle. So in today's show, I want to talk about a backtest that we just ran on IWM. And I think just even just one backtest, it doesn't really matter which one you run. You can run a couple on our website using our toolbox software, which you can get to at optionalpha.com/toolbox. But the one I ran today was this setup. So it was a weekly trade. In IWM, we are doing a short strangle where you sell a call option and then you sell a put option. This is mainly for margin accounts, though you can create an iron condor and do it in a risk-defined IRA or retirement account. But it was a weekly setup, so we were just trading one time a week. We had 30% overall allocation in trades like this, which is pretty standard. So you could do IWM, DIA, some of the other big major ETFs, right? But overall, 30% of your portfolio into a trade like this, a setup like this. We were taking profits at 50%. We had no stop loss, which I think was key to this one. Absolutely no stop loss. So we didn't take money off the table if it started to lose. We just let the thing lose. If it was a huge loser, fine. If it was a small loser, fine. We had no stop loss. The only time that we exited the trade was either at expiration or when we took profits at 50%. And more importantly, we had no IV rank, which kind of will get to our trader Q&A question that we have coming in at the middle of the show. But we had no IV rank on this one. So there was no filter for IV. So if implied volatility was high, we made a trade. If it was mid-range, we made a trade. If it was low, we made a trade. We just kept trading for the sake of trading. We wanted to get a lot of trades on, a lot of occurrences, and see how this thing performed. And then in the short strangle, we set it up so that the short deltas were at 20. So we were selling the 20 delta calls and the 20 delta puts, wherever those ended up being every time that we got into a trade, targeting about 40 days to expiration. So even though we might have traded weekly, meaning entering a new trade every week, every time that we were entering a trade, we were targeting as close to 40 days to expiration as possible, right? So we weren't trading weekly options. We were trading still the monthly contracts, but on a more frequent basis. So here are the results of this short strangle. So in this case, the short strangle had an annual CAGR of 9.45%. I mean, absolutely crushed the S&P. And if you see the payoff diagram, if you run this same kind of back test, you'll see this payoff diagram inside of the toolbox, but it had an amazing return. The Sharpe ratio was 0.64, so not insanely good, but actually a really good Sharpe ratio for a lot of back testing. But the return was killer. Like, it crushed the market. Won 88% of the time. So this is again where we start to prove that even though we're making a trade at a short strike of 20 on each side, which theoretically looks like you should be winning about 60% of the time, right? Like, that's how people assume that that's going to happen. If we make a short strangle trade with a 20 delta on each side, that's a 40 delta overall. So 60% of the time we should win. But when the trade actually plays out and you take profits, the trade actually won 88% of the time. So maybe a little bit higher than average we see in this, but definitely proves the point that when you take trades off early and you factor in IVs over expectation, you win way more often than the initial probabilities suggest. Now, in this case, we did 390 trades over about a 10-year period. And the max drawdown at any one point, peak to trough, was 42%. Now, here's where I'll pause. And I'll basically say that that is where people are going to get stuck for sure. So even though everything I probably said initially here, talking about the win rate and the number of trades and the returns and how it crushed the market, this is the thing that always gets people hung up, and it's the drawdown. And it's because they don't have enough mental toughness or that mindset to work through that drawdown. So here's actually how the P&L actually started to evolve. So when you started trading this thing, say you started trading in 2007, in 2008, you went from a high in your portfolio, and we just did a model portfolio on this of $250,000, okay? Just so you guys know kind of where that starting basis was. So in 2007, you started trading this $250,000. You got as high as $384,000 in July of 2008. So after about a year and a half or so, you're looking really good. I mean, like, the portfolio is doing very well. Everything seems to be on the up and up. You had very minimal drawdowns. Nothing really happened bad. And then as the market started to get into the depths of the correction, if we just stayed mechanical and just continued to sell options, right, we had a nice drawdown from 380 back down to 265. So you lost from $384,000 all the way back down to 265. So here's the thing that always, like, fascinates me about people trading and just this whole business. At that point, 95% of you quit. I guarantee that 95% of you hang up the towel, quit, and don't continue on with trading. And this is why we built the backtester in the toolbox, because I want you guys to visually see what happens to trades in the process on the way to either generating higher returns or not. Like, you got to figure out what that payoff diagram is going to look like on the way. So in this case, you had a huge drawdown from $384,000 to $265,000, which is insane. And you basically were back to square one by the time you got around to October 2008, January-ish timeframe, right? So about 2 years in now, you really haven't made significantly all that much money. So you're thinking to yourself, well, this stinks and this is a scam and it doesn't work, et cetera, right? All right. So at that point, then the market starts to recover and starts to go back up, right? So after you have that big drop down or that big drawdown back to $265,000, then the market starts to really, really recover and you start to slowly creep back up. Now, as you get towards April of 2011, you start to regain the highs that you had given up. So it takes a little bit of time. And in this case, to recover that drawdown that you just went through, it took basically from October 2008 until April of 2011. So it took a long time. And during that process, you're still consistently trading, sticking with the program, right? That's what the backtester is doing. It has no emotions, doesn't care who's present, who's not, who's leading the party, what hurricanes happen. Like, it's just consistently trading, right? And at that point, it continues to go up. And just literally from that point on, it just has a very steady curve up. I mean, you have some peaks and troughs, a couple little drawdowns here and there, but you really don't have any major, major corrections again in your P&L diagram until it basically ends, right? So this is kind of crazy. This is why we talk about having this mental toughness, because if I were to tell you on the outside, hey, you can trade this type of strategy across, you know, a couple different tickers, major market indexes, and you should hit about a 9.45% return. Some of you are like, yeah, like sign me up. Awesome. But then you hit one drawdown, one bump in the road, and you quit and you're done. You just don't understand what it takes to get over that hurdle and to keep trading. Now, this doesn't happen just in this vacuum. So it's not just IWM that this happens. This happens all over the place when we do backtesting. Sometimes it happens early. Sometimes it happens later. Sometimes it happens midway of the cycle. That's why you just have to keep trading. That's why I tell people it's such a long-term wealth-building process. It's not something that you can whimsically do and decide, oh, I just want to be a trader for the next couple months. Like, if you're going to do that, then just don't do it. It's not worth your time, because I don't know what the sequence of returns you're going to get. Like, I don't know if you're going to have 7 winners in a row or 8 losers in a row. Like, I don't know what that's going to be. But that's why we backtest, so that we know, hey, look, if I stick with this on a long enough time frame, what's the trajectory of where I'm going? Am I heading in the right direction, so that if I stay with this strategy, or if I tweak this way of doing it, if I take profits early or use a stop loss or whatever the case is, I end up generating more money in my account than I would have otherwise. So hopefully this helps out. Again, kind of using this as a really good way to prove the point here that you can't just focus on ROI. You have to have the stability, the mental toughness, the consistency factor that's required to get to these higher returns. And you have to know that upfront, because if you don't think that it's possible right now, or if you know upfront you might go through a big drawdown at some point, you'll have the mental toughness to keep going through it. So hopefully that helps out. Hopefully that at least gets you set up for success and gives you a little bit more confidence to stick with it, which I think is ultimately the differentiator between people who are successful in this business and not, is the people who stick with it and continue to trade nonstop all the time, even in the face of sometimes adversity in the markets, some drawdowns, things not going their way, black swans, you name it. Like, the people who stick with it and keep trading will ultimately be the most successful.
And now our favorite part of the show, Trader Q&A, where we ask a question from one of our current members about options trading. Got a question you'd like to ask Kirk to answer live on the air? Just head on over to optionalpha.com/ask and hit the record button to leave a message. That's optionalpha.com/ask. And now, here's today's question.
Hey, Kirk, this is Kevin in St. Petersburg, Florida. I got 3 things for you today. Some kudos, a suggestion, and a question. First, the kudos. I'm a brand new trader. Only been doing this for a month, and I got to tell you, I've been looking around, and your site, your presentation, your tutorials, everything is top-notch, first-rate. I think you're doing a fantastic job. It's been very helpful so far, and I just can't compliment you enough. You're doing great. Keep going. Now, the suggestion. Hey, I'm listening to the podcast, and for me, it would be super, super helpful if you could include the date and some basic information, what the trade price is when you're getting into a trade, what the IV rank is, and your thoughts and theories for why you're getting into the trade. Because sometimes the actual date of the podcast, I can't seem to find it on SoundCloud. And it'd be really helpful when going back a month or so to get oriented as to what the trading was about. So if you could do that, that would be great. Now the question, in particular, I was listening to the podcast 106, the TLT trade that you were putting down in the closing bell. And I'm looking at this, and it looks like IV rank is pretty low. It's December 1st, and IV rank is at 33% today. And the guide says over 50% is the time for doing iron butterflies. So I'm wondering if you could share your thoughts as to whether IV rank was higher at the time. I'm not sure if it was. I think it was pretty low. And if so, and if IV rank was under 50 at the time, what the thought process is overall as to the iron butterfly trade on TLT. I'm really interested in TLT and Looking forward to getting more comfortable with doing some trades on that. Other than that, again, you're doing great. Thanks so very much. And I'm brand new and really looking forward to everything that you're doing. Thanks.
All right. Hey, Kevin, thank you so much for submitting the question. I know you had three things. So one, thanks for the kudos. I always appreciate it. Number two, the podcast, check iTunes or Google Play for the dates. So that's a good way to figure out which date we release a podcast, basically when it was, you know, based on that trade. So we will try in the future to talk about when we're getting into these trades so you can kind of look back at them and learn from those trades. And then on the question that you had on TLT from show number 106, you know, TLT is one of those trades that we like to be in generally because it gives our portfolio a lot of diversity. So I'll start with the ticker in of itself. We've had a really good year last year trading TLT. I think we're still going to have a good year trading TLT this year. It's generally going to be a trade that's constantly in our portfolio, maybe not every single month. We don't need to have it, but I like to have it in our portfolio because it gives us diversity and some exposure to bonds. Now, even though IV is low and not over the 50th IV rank, we always want to be selling options. So that's really the simplest answer. In today's show, hopefully you listened to, in the case of IWM, we basically were making trades in IWM no matter where IV was. And most of the time in IWM, it was low. So we were making trades even during low implied volatility, selling options against IWM, and it still generates excess returns and higher expected returns than doing nothing at all. So the key with low IV trades, though, is you just want to keep them small. So if the market has low IV, it doesn't mean that you can't trade or you shouldn't trade. You absolutely should. You just want to keep your position size a little bit smaller so that when implied volatility goes up, if that happens, you have an opportunity to scale up. Remember, we always want to scale up during high implied volatility and scale low or scale back down during low implied volatility, which is always the goal. So again, thanks so much for submitting the question. Again, if you want to get your question answered here on the podcast or live on Facebook, please head on over to optionalpha.com/ask, click the big red button in the middle of the screen and leave me a private voicemail. There's no software to download or install, and it's incredibly easy. Now, before we get into the closing bell segment, I wanted to again remind you guys about our other podcast that we do, which is our daily call podcast. You can just search Option Alpha in whatever you're listening to right now. If you're on Google Play or iTunes or SoundCloud, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, we're pretty much everywhere now with these podcasts, but I don't think that everyone is now listening to that daily call podcast. It's a very short podcast that we do every single morning where I just come on, I answer a question, talk about a topic, 5 to 10 minutes tops on that podcast. So it's a great way to just have a little bit more consistency in your education with options trading. Again, you can search it anywhere at optionalpha.com/daily call.
Now, the closing bell. Find out which stocks we're looking at right now, trades we're making, and hear our game plan moving forward.
All right, so in today's closing bell segment, we want to talk about a new trade that we got into recently in XLU. So XLU is a utilities ETF that trades. It's actually one of the bigger ones that trades. Lots of volume, lots of liquidity. We do still have, I don't know if I ever talked about this on the podcast, but we do still have long stock in XLU because we were assigned stock a while back, but we've been selling covered calls all the way around it and also selling option spreads and iron condors, iron butterflies around it, all while it's been exceptionally lower, but it stayed in this range. So the last couple months, even after we've been assigned, it's basically been this 49-ish to 52 range, which has been working out pretty well for us. So we're going to continue to sell premium against it and continue to hold that short stock until it comes back around, sell covered calls against it, just continue to pound away here with option selling against XLU. Now, it's got decently high implied volatility. It's not the highest on the list, but it's definitely one of the higher ones right now, which is good. It's in around the 47 rank, 47 to 50 rank right now. And so what we're going to do is we're going to sell the 50 strike calls and the 49 strike puts. And so we're going to do a very tight iron condor. Basically, it's going to look like an iron butterfly, but an iron butterfly would be the same short strikes. In this case, the reason that we're doing it is because at the time we were making the trade, XLU is trading right between these two strikes. It's like 49.50, almost exactly between the strikes. So we're not going to pick and choose. We're going to try to be as neutral as humanly possible. So selling the 50 calls, selling the 49 puts, and then going out on either end, $5. So an equal distance on either end, $5, and buying the 55 calls for 8 cents, buying the 44 puts for 13 cents. Now, this is good because, you know, we could do this thing as just a pure straddle or strangle, right? But the outside legs on XLU are so cheap. I mean, for basically like $21, you get massive relative protection and risk, right? So it caps that risk on these outside legs and it reduces the margin dramatically. So for us, it's worth it to do it in most cases for these iron butterflies during generally low volatility. I mean, XLU is middle of the range, but generally low volatility in the market. You see that these outside legs are just super, super cheap. So why not buy them and kind of give yourself a little bit of protection against risk, protection against margin exposure, you know, really kind of control this thing. So this works well in both a margin account, obviously, and an IRA or retirement account. You can do it in both. We're doing a couple contracts here. This is our first entry for XLU for May. So actually our first entry for all of May that we started doing. And so we'll do a couple contracts here and then start to ladder into more positions later if XLU does continue to move. So if it moves higher, we'll add some new strikes higher. If it moves lower, we'll add some new strikes lower. In either case, we're just going to try to stay consistent and trade as often as possible.
Thanks for listening to the Option Alpha podcast. If you liked what you heard, please drop by iTunes and leave a rating or comment. Plus, you can get everything. Free email updates for future shows, transcripts, video tutorials, case studies, and more. Just visit our website at optionalpha.com.
All right, so I truly hope you guys enjoyed today's show and got at least one thing out of it that you can apply right now to make you a smarter, more profitable trader and investor. And as always, you can get additional resources, links mentioned in the show, and some related video training from today's show by going to optionalpha.com/show123. Again, that's just the number 123, optionalpha.com/show123. Until next time, happy trading.